How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good, good. Who's on?
Mike Riley.
Hey, Mike.
I'm
Mark Christie.
Well, what's happening, everybody? Hope you had a great weekend. Who's kicking us off?
Well, this is Mark.
Oh,
well. Okay, go ahead.
Ty.
Yeah, she can. Go ahead.
Who's on, Olivia?
Yes, Olivia.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey there.
What's the update? I know you're working a few. Yeah.
Yeah, my update is, I reached out to all my buyers again on Friday, all my Section 8. And, you know, the feedback I got was you paid too much for that property because it's in a horrible area, you know.
Okay.
I thought it was in a different zip code. I got kind of messed up with my bird dog stuff.
Okay.
And so I have called every single buyer. Actually, I talked to an investor and one of my buyers, and I said, well, what would you have paid for that? He goes, about 60. And I talked to another wholesaler, and I said, well, what do you think? He said, I would only pay 20 per house. So anyway, I launched that Craigslist ad again, and I had no responses. So it's like,
So you said you got confused with your bird dog, so you generated some leads in a zip code that you didn't mean to? Am I following that right?
Well, yeah, I followed up on the bird dog lead, and the zip code he had put in, which was decent, I called that guy, and his deals were in another zip code. See, he was in those three houses were in the war zone, and I was thinking it was in the one I had called. Well, anyway.
Gotcha.
I know the good zip codes by process of default.
So the bottom line is, what do you have it under contract for?
I have it under contract for 90.
Did any of your buyers, so is this a place where a price cures? I mean, somebody said they would pay 60 for it?
Yeah, and I talked to the guy today. I said, you know what, the feedback I'm getting is it's priced too high, and I'd like to offer, you know, 60. He goes, no, he wouldn't take it. I did try to offer lower.
Yeah.
If it was 60, it would be sold in a heartbeat. But I didn't, the numbers worked. I did the numbers.
Yeah.
They worked, but not for that zone, not for that zip code.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, that's on that. So, I got my bird dog out in a better area near the university.
Okay.
He's taking the picture, and he's literally chasing the buyer down on foot. I told him to. That's part of the package he's doing. I said, it'll help us both if you track him down on the ground. Then you do your research. So that's my new plan of action with him.
That's funny.
He said,
so what do you mean tracking the buyer down on ground? So looking up the...
He needs to knock on some doors. You know,
in the area?
Just the
neighbors?
Yeah, that's it. He said, you know, I talked to neighbors and they said this. He goes, I think I need to knock on more doors and get more information. Because I have called every single number he's given me, and some, you know how it goes. Not a very high percentage were answering or anything or were correct. And he's using IntelliSense. Yeah, so I want him to go a little step further since he lives there. And he was willing.
Cool.
He actually offered. He said, I need to knock on doors. It's like, yeah.
Well, what would be interesting is if you have an absentee owner that still lives there in town, knock on that door.
Thank you. That's probably the next step. Not only does he need to find the owner, he's got to go knock on the owner's door.
Well, that would be, yeah. I mean, you could knock on neighbors or some of the owners are going to be out of state or far away, but some of them are going to be right there in town. In which case, go knock on that door.
Okay. And we just started this new plan, today.
Okay.
So I will tell him that. Go find the owner. If he's in town, go knock on the door. Perfect.
Love it.
So I had a couple questions. I was late on going my homework. So let's see here. I wanted to ask you some questions. I think I've been doing my homework wrong.
Which homework?
You know, not the homework, but the report, the weekly update.
Oh, on Fridays?
Yeah, because it says total of vacant leads generated. Is that since the get-go, or is that just this week?
Yeah. It should have been more specific, I suppose. Either one.
You can just do total
if you want.
Okay. And then it said, yep. How many offers have you made? So for last week, I put in two offers. And it says, how many properties under contract? Are those from the offers I made? I have properties under contract from the weeks before, you know?
Yeah. Total offers made. If we just keep on totals, because I can go back and see, you know, your update from the week prior.
Right. So how many offers this
week? And do the difference.
Last week.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And then how many?
If we just keep it at totals, we'll be good.
For that week.
What's that?
For the weekly totals.
Yeah. We can typically when it comes in, we can figure out. I mean, if total number of leads generated is 50 and I see it's from you, I know that's the last week. You know, I know because I know you have more than that total. So, but yeah, if we just keep it at totals, we'll be good.
Okay. And then, okay, well, that'll be a lot simpler for me.
Yep. Perfect.
That's it. Thank you. And then, I have one other thing. If I have time. Now, this is a common occurrence. So I was looking up a property that's off the Craigslist IFFP. It's a fixer-upper. It's selling for $11,500, okay? And I looked it up because it's in that bad zip code. And so it's on Zillow, it's 38. That looks good, doesn't it? But it,
38
okay,
what?
So it, 38,000.
That's the what? Which number?
The
Zestimate?
Zestimate's 38. This is for sale for $11,500.
Okay.
So it looks good on paper. Okay, now I looked up the last, the price. It was last bought for, it was last bought for $6,500 in 2016.
Okay.
How does that factor in with any of these?
Just depends. I mean, if you buy it at $11,500, is somebody willing to pay $14,000 to $15,000 for it?
Yeah, it's after what the market will bear.
That's how it factors in. That's about it.
Okay.
Yep.
So this is zero.
Sometimes it's kind of interesting to see what somebody paid for it. You know, in this case, they didn't pay a whole lot less than they had it listed for. What, about $5,000 or so?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
exactly.
Sometimes you'll see a house for sale for $50,000 and you'll look it up and you say, oh my gosh, they bought it for $15,000 2 years ago. And knowing that, you know, you can go in with a lower offer, you know, especially if they haven't done any work to it.
Okay.
Knowing that, they only paid $15,000, but in this case, it's not a huge difference. So how does the deal look at $11,500? Or is it in a, you said it's in a pretty bad spot?
It's worthless because it's in that zip code. It's in one of the crime zip codes. So
yeah.
I already know zero.
Yep.
So I'm learning.
Cool.
Okay.
Hey, so
I'm done.
So go to those
Thank
zip
you.
Codes. Have you put those zip codes specifically into List Source to see if there's any absentee owner data in the last 12 months?
You know what? I have that list from the realtor. I haven't put that. I need to do that. Thank you. That is a great suggestion, is to put those zip codes, the good ones, into List Source.
Well, here's the other thing you can do. You don't have to buy the list in List Source to see if there's any activity. I mean, obviously, if you have a deal under contract, you would want to know, you'd want to buy the list, but you can go to List Source, just punch in that zip code. It's the same process in step one in the coaching center.
Okay.
Just go through and get the number. But instead of doing it by MSA or city, do it by that zip code, and then that'll at least tell you in the last 12 months, has there been any investor activity in this zip code?
Okay.
So that would be good to know. Because war, quote-unquote war zone is all speculative, right? Some person's war zone is another person's sweet spot for buying.
Well,
and that's just the way it always will be. Now, there really are areas where there's no activity. But if the locals are saying, stay away, stay away, stay away, that doesn't mean there's no activity in there. So go to List Source and check the data.
Okay, that's good. That'll back that up. Okay.
Yep.
That's good. Good advice.
Then you'll know.
Thank you.
Then you'll know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Hey, Mike. Isn't that what you should be doing? Isn't that what we should be doing first?
That's a great list,
Yeah, because
that
then, I mean,
you put into batch geo.
Because, I mean, I did that just a couple weeks ago. If I'd done that months ago, I wouldn't have spent all that money and time mining an area that there's no investors investing in.
Yeah, we talk about it in a few different ways in there. The list source is one method. You know, getting it from, you can have an agent pull the same thing. I think some of you have had luck having an agent pull it. Others haven't. If you call enough agents, somebody will pull it for you, typically. But, yeah, and let the data drive. There are a couple lists Rob pulls. I mean, he does go in the coaching center. I know it also talks about, you know, grab the cheapest 100 off of off Realtor.com. He uses that. He uses Go Section 8. He'll plot all those at BatchGeo.com. It just all of it gives you intel into what's going on. Other, you know, we've talked about it on office hours before, getting plugged in with the other wholesalers, getting on their mailing list. And oftentimes if you can go to their websites, the ones who have been around for a while, and look at a list of their sold properties or keep track of what they're moving, keep track of those zip codes as well. So the intel comes from a lot of different places. Who else has updates and or questions?
Mark.
I know you sent a – yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, okay, there's two that I emailed you about. both of them, according to county records, the mailing address is the same as the property address.
That's it.
And, both of them is because the owners have passed away. And so, excuse me, the one I got a hold of the ex-wife, and she didn't have a relationship with the son, but I never had his information, but I finally got his name, and I tried his number, but his number comes up as this person isn't taking phone calls at this point. I don't know what that means. So, anyway, I'm going to keep trying him. But there's a daughter also. I'm assuming it's a daughter just because of the age. And so I'm going to call the ex-wife again and see if I can't get the daughter's information. But the other one, there's only one number, and nobody at that number knows anything about it. So that one is just kind of a, I don't know. God, it seems like such a nice house that, you know, that would be able, should be able to find something on it.
Right.
But
interesting.
I don't know where to go on that one now.
Yeah, I mean, if they're both scenarios where somebody passed away, owner passed away, now you're getting into research and, you know, a probate situation. Who was, you know, was there a will in place? Pretty decent chance there wasn't. You know, how does it get tied up, the process there locally in the county? If you can get a little traction from the numbers you have, you know, start there. But, I mean, you could put a ton of research into this thing. You know, could get a little bit challenging to figure out. I think your time would be better spent on some other vacants. These two are pretty unique. Some, it looks like the owner passed on both of them, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the one, like I said, the ex-wife says that he passed in 2009 and he left it to the son. And it's been vacant ever since, so.
But county records doesn't show the son, right?
Exactly. It still shows the original owner.
Yeah, this many years later. Interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the tax records shows like there may be about 4,000 or 5,000 in arrears on that, but hard to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I spent probably about 2.5 hours on both of those today. And it's like I'm just thinking, wow, am I kind of wasting my time on this type of stuff or and just move on?
Yeah, those are tough ones. I mean, you're gonna have leads where, you know, you've got the number to the actual owner. That would be that would be a better place. Because, I mean, this turns into now what, if anything, was even in place to transfer ownership. But he died in 2009, and we're 8 years later, and public record still shows the, you know, the gentleman that passed away and not his son.
Right.
So, yeah, you don't want to get in the middle of going in and fixing all that. Or,
okay.
You know, even trying to dig it up, so.
All right. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Then next couple of days, then I'm just going to concentrate on my leads.
That sounds good. I've got more coming to you as well.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
So, yep.
All right. All right, that's all I got.
Questions? Who else?
What's up, Mucky?
Hey. You back feeling normal yet?
I'm getting there, slowly
yeah.
but surely.
All right.
Yeah, you know, Friday was the power was off, and that was crazy. It didn't come back on until after 11 that night, man. It was wild. So, but
hey, happy Father's Day to the dads out there. I should have started with
yeah.
that.
yeah. Happy
Just
Father's
hit
Day
me.
To you, too.
Thank
well,
you.
And to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, what's the good word? How are the two salespeople doing today? Were they both on the phone over the weekend?
Well, two never made two. Turned into one again.
Yep. Back to the VA?
Can you believe that?
I can. You've that's what your gut said.
Yeah, she didn't even try to make calls. I set up another Google account and everything else, and, you know.
Yep.
And then when she gave me that rebuttal, and then she didn't make any calls, I just deleted her again, so.
Yep.
But, yeah, the VA, man, she's smoking.
She's after
me. She's dialing 300 or 400 numbers a week, so just in 3 or 4 hours a day, so that's pretty good.
Is she doing Saturdays?
No, she works Monday
okay.
to Friday.
Okay.
So
she was back on today.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And she was sick one day last week, too, so.
Okay.
But, you know, she made talked to four sellers, so. And one guy had two properties, and he told her that she was calling his wife's phone number, and she wanted to know how we got his name and number, and when he didn't have a property for sale. And he didn't want to sell that one, but he had two more. And then when
yeah.
I try to follow up with him, the phone number is his aunt's house, and she doesn't know how to get in touch with him. And they're actually in two areas where I could probably sell them pretty easily. So, but
yeah.
But it's not over. I'll chase him down.
Yeah, just a matter of tracking him down.
Yeah,
I guess he was
calling
VA,
from his aunt's. I'm sorry?
Who did your VA originally talk to?
She
talked
to
the guy,
owner
right?
guy. Yeah, she talked to this guy.
But she got a hold of him at his aunt's house?
I guess because she had been following up and been calling, leaving voicemails and stuff at different numbers. And I guess he got back with her and she finally called him. And I guess she just happened to catch him there, but he said his wife was upset about her having her number and blah, blah, blah. So one house is like a 5 or 6 bedroom, man, 3 or 4 baths.
Oh, wow. And it's vacant in a good spot.
In a decent, yeah, it's actually primarily a rental area, but I could sell it to one of my hedge fund guys that
yeah.
likes those big houses. He fixes them up and rents them out for about $1,400 or $1,500 and then sells them off for, he'll probably sell it for about $120 to one of
right.
those guys in California or Hawaii. He's got some buyers in Hawaii too, so.
Right.
So I'm going to chase him down and, she had one more that the guy owed more than, I think I told you about that last week. I don't know if I did or not.
Back taxes?
He owes 30 on it, and this is the one where he'll be all in at 45, and nobody's going to buy in that area all in at 45. So
yeah.
But,
is it mortgages or taxes?
Mortgage, 30K in mortgage.
And it's sitting vacant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's vacant.
Is he making the payments on it?
Well, I didn't get that far with him.
Yeah.
He don't like it. He wants out real. He wants out real bad. But.
Oh, I'm sure. If he's making the payments, though, short sale's not even an option. Got to get in some form of default first. So
yeah.
That's one of those odd situations.
Right. Then I had another one that was from a bandit sign lead that didn't work out. You know, I got a buyer's offer, but it was the lady owed 52 and this guy offered 35, so that didn't work out. So, but other than that, she got made contact with a lady. I haven't called back yet, but the house that was on my list is now a vacant lot, I guess. The house has been torn down since we got the lead, but she has four other crappy houses that I'm going to follow up on.
Nice.
So she's, I like her, man, and I think she knows somebody else, too, so I may put them to work, too.
No kidding.
But she's good at setting them up, so.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Cool.
I'm not going to knock that. I'm going to keep her around. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I've taken her off of Upwork. Also,
cool.
She was complaining they were taking 20% of her pay.
Right.
And
I always wondered
what
kind of cut Upwork took, and I never knew. I'm sure.
Man, she was real upset.
Target, but yeah.
She asked if I could pay her with PayPal. I said sure, as long as I get an invoice and a timesheet, I'm cool with it. So.
Nice.
I guess that's the process I need. I need some kind of backup. So.
Yep.
But cool. I track what she's doing in Google Voice and everything else with spreadsheets.
Right.
So I mean, it's I've got trust built with her, so I'm happy
right.
with it.
How long have you been working with her?
Whenever she first started skip tracing, 6 weeks.
Okay. Cool. Maybe 6 weeks
eight.
Already escalated the sales. I love it.
Yeah. It might be 7 weeks. I don't know, but it's not real long.
Right.
And, you know, we usually speak every morning via Skype.
Right.
And,
she's working nighttime hours where she lives, right? She's in Philippines?
Yeah, she works during the night. She calls, for me, she calls between like 9 and 11 or 12. And then she breaks and does some work for this other lady she works for in Kansas City, and then she gets back on in the afternoon for me between 4
okay.
and 6 or 7.
Cool.
So she's working for me about 15 or 20 hours a week and very, right. very productive in those few hours. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. When somebody has I mean, you get somebody on the team and you're paying, you know, however you have it set up, if it's an hourly VA or – if you've got them paying a percentage like Rob's sales team, when they dedicate time to it, right, they don't have the other distractions that all of you have with, you know, keeping all the pieces of the business on. They just, you know, jump on the phone. And so when, you know, when the time is right, that's a big step. So that's good stuff.
I mean, I can't remember when I was trying to make calls. There's no way I dial 300 numbers in a week with all I got going on. There's just
yeah.
no way.
Yeah.
So.
It gets effective when you have somebody that's just dedicated to it, uninterrupted.
And in the
time.
Times, she asked today when she could start sending letters, and I said, as soon as you go through the skip trace on white pages and can't find them, then send the letter. Absolutely.
Yep.
So she's going to start doing that tomorrow.
Yep.
So.
That's bad. I mean, that's Rob's process. She uses that FreedomSoft template, sends out a little letter.
Right.
The sales team jumps on the phone. So they don't send them on everyone, but, you know, the ones that look interesting, shoots them a quick letter. I think it's 80 cents a piece through click-to-mail.
Yeah, I might need to monitor which ones. Some of them are going to be crappy, so.
They will.
I'll figure
yep.
out something.
Cool.
All right, man. That's what I got. So.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah, I just need to make more offers. So we'll make a lot of headway this week. So.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
How many offers were made this week?
I only made one.
constant theme around here.
Yeah, I made way too little. So.
Yeah, one's not going to cut it.
It is not.
You know that, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Good. I saw you sent a couple emails in. Haven't read them. Busy day, so I'll check them out later. What's the update?
Okay.
Or question.
Well, update, I did a really good ice route yesterday.
An ice route? It's like 90 degrees in Colorado. Where the
heck
did you do that?
Perfect neve, snow, and ice all the way to the top. Yeah, it was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah.
You went somewhere high.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But anyway.
So, Tom, I'm going to let you brag for a minute. How many – I don't even know how to brag about a climber. Tell everybody on because we have – I've mentioned this a few times. We have people on here that have done some really cool stuff. So how do you even talk about all the peaks you've summited? How do you even phrase it? I'm not a climber. I don't even know how to word it.
I don't know. I'm a rock climber, ice climber.
You've climbed some, yeah, but you were beyond that. Like a guy tried to hire you to take him up Everest, right? And you turned him down or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a guide in the Himalayas. I climbed all over the place. Climbed frozen waterfalls.
Right.
Do all that kind of stuff. Cool. I ran up this thing in a little over an hour and 5 minutes, and it took everybody else on the route like five. But big deal.
Nice.
I can't get any deals done, man. That's
I'm
a good climber, but I suck at this so far, man. I'm getting nowhere.
It's a process. I mean, you didn't come out of the gate and go ripping up ice routes in an hour and a half. So stick to the process.
Yeah.
The process will stick to it.
Here's
it.
Yeah,
tell me where you're at. I think it's cool that you climb. I'm afraid of heights, so I admire
it. You know, I got to go do something I can actually do, so it's nice to know I can still do it. So anyway, so the guy on the who I should have, the house that I had under contract that I thought I had under contract, as we know, was with somebody who doesn't own the house. So the owner has been hemming and hawing, I guess, and I sent him – is the third one I've sent, and he hasn't signed it yet. So I'm just about ready to say screw it because, you know, as I look, there is no absentee owners buying in that area code anyway in the last 18 months.
Right.
Which is what I should have done to begin with is find out where
people
buying.
Tell me, what was the process to make an offer to a guy that doesn't own the house? Because somewhere along the line, his name came up, this other guy, right?
I found a house that he owns.
Okay.
And it looked like it was vacant. He said he wasn't interested in selling it, but he has a house that he is interested in selling.
Okay.
And it's his friend's house that I think – his friend bought – I think this is what happened. I think his friend bought it, and the other guy was going to rehab it, and then they were going to either split the profits or whatever. I don't know how their arrangement was, but he couldn't buy it in his own name to get it cheap. It might have been a HUD house where you have to buy it or something where the other guy, you know, he was full up with a number of properties or whatever, so his friend steps in and uses his name.
Gotcha.
You know, I think that's what's going on. I didn't ask him, but –
So they know each other. It's not too random.
Oh yeah, they're, it's not like he was just trying to take us.
Yeah.
Take me. His best friend.
Okay.
But so far, I mean, it's just like I've been doing nothing else. I haven't been doing any other marketing and stuff like that because I've been trying to find buyers and I haven't gotten anywhere because of this house. So I just like put the brakes on everything because I already have, you know, 100 at least. Phone numbers I need to call to find,
right,
you know, for vacants. But a lot of those are in areas that I shouldn't even be looking in. I think the best way to do it is to go find the buyers first. Now you know where the buyers are. At least find where all the buyers are doing it. Then concentrate on that, not necessarily the 100 cheapest houses. Because 100 cheapest houses, there might not be any buyers in that area at all. Like in this zip code, there is nothing. There's been a few owner-occupant you know, buying houses there, but these are people who are buying them and fixing them up and living in them themselves.
Right.
So it's
it sounds like these guys can't get on the same page, whatever the two friends are doing.
Yeah, I don't know. And at this point, I'm like, yeah, you know, I spent enough time with this whole rigmarole. It's a nice house. I think the numbers are great, but I don't know if I can find anybody who's going to buy it at that price.
Right.
So I have these other houses that somebody.
Hey, hang on, Tom. If you've got some having a conversation or something in the background, hit *6 for us, quick, please.
So anyway. I got these other houses that I found from somebody, and these are all back taxes, and I tried to get in touch with that guy for a long time, and I just barely did after I sent you an email whining and complaining, so sorry about that.
that's okay.
You know, I piss and moan, and it's like it's the only person who even has a clue of understanding the frustrations is you. Nobody in my world at all has any clue what I'm doing, so sorry if I'm like whining on you. But so anyway, this guy basically said he owns a bunch of them. He's in San Diego. His friend is in Pittsburgh. I can't get in touch with his friend who supposedly knows what's going on, but apparently doesn't.
Okay.
The guy in San Diego knows a little bit more. He has a bunch of them. He wants to dump them. I think what happened was he bought them with this guy. And they were going to, you know, do stuff with him. The other guy's, you know, not doing it. So he just wants to dump them. They owe a bunch of back taxes. I spent way too long trying to find out how much they owed. The city of Pittsburgh contracts out to a tax service for collection and stuff like that. And they won't give me any information. It's $1. It's $10. Per year of information, and they won't tell you how many years they're back taxed. So
go to title. Go to title. They can pull an O&E, or you have an arrangement, you know, that, hey, here's the thing. You know, tell them this process. I'm trying to dig into what's going on. We really don't know. Let's get these started with title. Will you let go of them? Will you move the houses for what you owe? So step one would be let's figure out if they don't know the exact number. That would be step one. But title they'll either do, in most cases, right, like an O&E, owners and encumbrances, a quick little title report. They'll dig that stuff up. Sometimes the title companies will charge for them but not really collect, and they just sort of build it in when the deal gets closed. At a minimum, you can get it from title as well and just have them do it.
Yeah.
So will they move them for the back taxes to just get out from under these things? It sounds like
I'm getting the idea they will. I mean, one of them they bought for $500, you know. I mean,
right.
So,
right.
And actually from the street, that one actually, which he didn't even tell me about, I just found it. I started digging around and found out the name of the company that he has it under title. And I searched that company to see what other stuff he had. And I found this pretty nice looking house. He bought it for $500. It's only a 2-2, but,
that's dirt cheap.
Looks pretty good. So,
yeah.
But anyway,
how many?
You know, I mean,
how many houses do they have?
Like 4 or 5.
Nice.
At least. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 4 or 5, something like that. One of them's a quad, and one of them's a triplex. A couple of single families. 1, 2, 2. But it's 1,088 square feet. I bet you it'd be a 3-2.
Yeah.
He wants to dump them all. He's talking about make me an offer for, you know, the whole damn thing. I don't know what, you know. He said, give me a price for, you know, whatever property you're talking about, and whatever that price is, we'll just subtract the taxes off of it, whatever they may be. So he just wants to get rid of them. And so now I have a buyer that was saying that she'd look at super cheap stuff, you know, and she doesn't care where. I'm sure there are other people like that. So basically what I was thinking of doing with her is just start a conversation saying, hey, I have some in this area, right? It's Braddock. Would you buy in that area? And she goes, no way. Okay, fine. I'll have to keep looking. And she goes, yeah, if the numbers are right, fine. That's a fair place. The schools aren't half bad in that area. from what I was looking at. They're better than a lot of the places I was looking at.
You know, are there absentee buyers there?
I haven't seen any in it from what I was looking at. None.
No absentee buyers. Are all five of these in the same zip code?
Yeah. None.
What's the zip code?
15104.
15104?
Yep.
Okay.
There is.
I'm curious when I have some time, I want to jump online and check out a few things.
Jump online, and if I'm screwing it up, then let me know, because I'm not finding any.
It could be, but
you know,
it also, you know, we could find.
But it doesn't. It could mean that there's a couple of houses and somebody would still do it. I mean, it looks at the area and it doesn't look bad. You look around and there's not lots of trash everywhere. It's not like super deluxe, but it's not bad. You know, and so I don't know. I mean, if this investor, it hits her profile. I mean, if I can get this thing for, you know, and they owe $3,000 in taxes, and I get it for $3,000 and she wants to buy it for $10,000, okay.
When did they buy all five? How many years ago?
Generally around anywhere from 2012 to 2015, something like that.
Okay, so we're talking about at the max 5 years of back taxes, assuming they didn't start paying them right away.
Right.
And that it sounds like, you know, the taxes in the area probably aren't super high based on what you're telling me, would be my guess.
About $100 a year.
$100 a year?
Yeah, is that what I got? Let's see.
I think that'd be a little higher than that, but the thing is, it's probably, you know, it's not like they've owed back taxes here for 30 years.
No, I don't have that. I don't have that one up right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
The county.
The
county doesn't. The county sold this to a tax company, and the tax company isn't telling me how much they owe.
So they're the ones trying to charge you. That's why I'm saying go the title route. And here's the thing. These guys want to sell. You guys are having a good conversation. So, you know, see if you can open up title and say, you know, the one unknown is, I mean, do they have the, they should have the annual property taxes on each property, and then ask them when they bought it, or you can look that up. I think you can get fairly close. There are probably some fees that have been tacked on, I would guess, but you may be able to get ballpark just from doing a little research and not paying this company for the data, and then ultimately go to title and they will, they'll pull it on the title work, what the balance is.
Yeah. Well, the assumption is, though, that also that when they bought it, there was no back taxes as well. It could be that he bought it for $500 and still owes the back taxes, right? I'll buy it for $500 and...
No, not when all existing liens need to be cleared when change of ownership happens on a property.
All right.
So, yeah, I can't. If there's a tax problem and a house gets sold, the tax problem doesn't continue on. It gets squared up at that transfer.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because that's what title does, is they guarantee that the new owner is purchasing the house free of all liens and encumbrances. That's what the insurance portion of the title is, because they found everything that exists. And so, you know, they guarantee that they are passing on free and clear ownership to the new owner. Now, from that point on, if the owner doesn't pay taxes, obviously they start that up again. But the reason it's called title insurance is because when title gets it wrong, then the insurance portion kicks in and they have to square up so that the new owner actually bought what they were told they bought.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
So that's title's role in the whole thing.
And
assuming they went through,
a
title company. What's that?
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, it's so many things are like doable in real estate if you put it into the contract. I don't know whether that is something that can be put into a contract. Hey, I'll take
not anything I've ever heard of.
That road.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
just
not anything I've ever heard of.
Because, you know, there's people are creative out there, and who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is you've got to have somewhat of an open-ended conversation with these guys saying, hey, it looks like you're motivated. I believe I can bring a solution to the table. The one thing up in the air is, I mean, you asked them, right, how much do you owe, and they didn't know? Am I following correct?
Yeah, he doesn't know. The first conversation I had with this guy in San Diego was, there's a couple thousand or $2,000 or $3,000 in back taxes on each one.
Okay. Get a hold of an investor-friendly title company out there. Call them up. Introduce yourself. Say, explain this scenario really quick. Say, I found a seller. He wants to move 5 properties in town. I'd like to buy all 5. He knows all 5 are behind in taxes. So I'm just trying to put this thing together. But what we need to get on the table is how much does he owe? So, you know, say, I'd like to close all 5 with you. Can we, you know, how does it work to get 5 O&Es ordered up quick? What does that process look like? I know we haven't worked together before, but, you know, walk me through this year. I'm an investor from out of state, and I need your services. And see, so get some feedback from that title company and see if they can just do some research on them quick for you, because then you'll know.
Okay.
That way you can even do that pre-offer, and now you've got some numbers to work off.
Yeah.
So.
And these, I would feel totally comfortable putting these on Craigslist as, you know, investor deals.
Right.
With a markup.
Cool.
Because he knows that's what I'm going to do with it, and he's fine with it. He just wants to get them off.
He just wants out. Right.
Yeah.
That's the kind of motivation you're looking for. So make it as easy as possible. Say, you can even tell the – do you have all 5 addresses?
Yeah. Well,
okay,
maybe. I got them now. The guy who was going to the guy in Pittsburgh gave me the wrong addresses, and I'm like, dude, that's a vacant lot. I mean, you know, and then he was like, no. So then I looked at a different site, and I found the real addresses, and it's my what a difference number means, you know.
Yeah, makes all the difference. So
you
can go to Title
that
Now.
One, that's a 4 units in it, right? I mean,
that's
a cash cow.
So make sure you have the right addresses clearly, and then you can go to Title. And then go tell them what you did. But this is the kind of motivation we're trying to sniff out here. I mean, these guys want out. These things are
this was a much easier conversation, believe me. Let's make it happen.
As the motivation,
he's an investor. And he's,
as the motivation to sell goes up, the conversation gets easier.
Yeah, and he has deals all over the place. So, I mean, I guess he's got properties all over the country, so we'll have another conversation later about some of the other crap he wants to get rid of.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Tom, get those taxes figured out and have Title do it. Don't pay this company for it.
Oh, no way. I mean,
Hey,
and I'll call
Make sure, know for sure that you have the right addresses. Or you're wasting your time and the title company.
No, I got the county site, so I got the addresses now.
Okay.
All right. And he was off by 1. You know, it was 306 and 308, not 305 and 307. You know.
Gotcha.
I'm gonna text this buyer that I texted last week, and just say I have some deals, you know, in this town. Are you interested in this town? And to see if she's interested. I'm not going to tell her where. I'm not going to tell her the address.
Yep.
I'm just going to say I'm working on a bunch of deals here. You know, I got like 4 or 5 perhaps. Are you interested in those? I'll give you first shot.
And ask if she buys multi-unit as well while you're at it.
Yeah.
Same text.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Cool.
All right. Cool.
Good stuff, man. Figure out those taxes. That sounds like
Thank
the key
sir.
To it. Especially if you know them, if you know the amounts and they don't. That gives you, you know, you'll be sitting in a good place when you go back to that conversation and say, hey, I've got offers ready for these.
Oh, yeah, good point.
All right.
Cool.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Pretty common to run into sellers, you know, not always, but this multiple scenario, you know, more than one of you have brought this up. It's pretty common. And a lot of times, you know, multiple vacants, obviously one vacant causes some problems in your life, but you have 4 to 5, and that tax bill is getting bigger by the month, so quite a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right.
High, when motivation is high, that's who you want to talk to ideally. So who else?
Hal.
Hal, what's happening?
Well, I think I've figured it all out since I emailed you, but I do have a question.
Yeah.
And I've run ads on, excuse me, on Craigslist before.
Okay.
And for as far as the bird dogs, are you showing it as a job offered in real estate, in the real estate section?
Yeah, either the real estate or the sales section, either of those.
So if you do it in job offered, at least down here in real estate, then it's $35. I used to always
Correct.
Do free ads, but so you're
yep.
paying for them. Okay.
We are.
Because
yep.
because I started to list it a while ago, and they canned it like they always do, and so that's why I was in the wrong area. So
yeah, we haven't had much luck posting down in Gigs. I think Gigs is still free in Craigslist. So we just pay to put it in either sales or real estate. Yep.
Okay. All right. Good for that.
Sure.
And then you know, I purchased those 1,800 or whatever it was, 1,286, I guess, absentee owners.
Yep.
And
did you get that mapped at Batch Geo?
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
And I signed up. That's $100 a month, but it's I guess it looks like they do a lot of other maps too that you could use.
Is there activity all over Atlanta, or is it in pockets? What'd you find?
No, it's pretty much in pockets. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's funny is it doesn't show a whole lot in the one zip code that I'm in, but there's a lot of action. But the thing on absentee owners, there's a lot of guys down here buying in some of those pockets that are, you know, they're rehabbing and they live here.
Right.
It's not absentee owners.
Well, if they don't live in the house, it's absentee. It doesn't matter if they live in the city.
Okay. All right.
It's just it's a non-owner occupied purchase.
Well, I noticed there's, you know, they're all over the United States, some of the absentee owners, but
yep.
but at any rate, okay. And then the other thing I've been working on is trying to think. There were three deals. It's been a long day. Sorry.
No worries.
It's back to I watched the video where the leads come in. Oh, I know what it was. The Snap thing.
Home Snap.
Yeah, it's I went around
yep.
the neighborhood just where I live and looked at a few vacants last night. Just tried out because I can see I'm going to have to teach these guys a little bit because, number one, it's not always accurate. I took one yesterday, and it was actually they had the address across the street to show on that house, so it wasn't. But I figured it out pretty quick. And then the other thing I had a hard time figuring out for a while was when you email that to the FreedomSoft, it was coming into the notes section. It was all garbled. And so I went ahead and used their, I think that bot app, and that sends it over. So really what you're doing is putting it into your system so that when your VA goes in there, they click on that link and it takes them to the house with the pictures and all the rest of the stuff, correct?
Yes. And are you working off an iPhone or an Android?
Android.
Okay. Yep, the process.
Yeah, what's this about the bot? That sounds like an answer to me.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that. Cause it's a little bit, HomeSnap works a little bit simpler with iPhone. But what is this bot thing for Android users?
There's a little, I can't get to it right now, but I was having trouble getting it to send it. Well, on one of theirs, when you put the email address in there, it didn't give you enough room. Because of FreedomSoft in the numbers, it's a long one. And it would cut it off at Freedom. And it won't let you put the rest in. So then I looked around and they got this little thing called Bot. And you do it that way and it'll send it fine. It sends a link to your database. So
hey,
I realized
did you get photos attached too?
Well, the photos are attached in the link. That's the only way I can see. It doesn't really bring the pictures into FreedomSoft that I can see. It brings in the link, and then when your VA clicks on the link, then you got the pictures. And one nice thing about it, too, I didn't realize, is it shows bedroom square footage, and they do give an idea what they think it's worth, which I know is not accurate, but it's actually pretty slick.
Can you do a screenshot of where you click on that bot? It's just inside the HomeSnap app, right?
Yeah, let's see. Hang on a second.
See if you can do a screenshot off your phone and then send that to me in the coaching email, because we've had quite a few conversations about Androids and HomeSnap.
Oh, you have?
If you can find a Kurt where they took that photo, then that would be the answer to the Android thing.
Well, like I'm looking at one right now that's down the street from me, and it's on HomeSnap, and it does have – it had the wrong address when I looked at it first. And then it I took it on my own house because I bought this thing and I live in it as an office. And mine is a townhouse, and it's 751, and 7055 is the other half. We both have the same address, and it's two in a building. And when I took a picture of my house, it showed 755. I knew it was the other one. It wasn't a picture of theirs. Theirs totally looked different than mine. But all that's just small stuff. I can figure that out. But I really like it, but I'm trying to think, okay, if I'm looking at this one now, and if you scroll down from the picture, it shows it's two bedrooms, 3.5 baths, 1,534 square foot, built in 1989. Right below that, it says HomeSnap bot. And when you click on that, then, let me try this. It puts a picture in there, and it puts the, where I sent it to the leads. You just put it comes up as a message, and it works. It works great sending it in there. Are you having trouble doing that?
Well, the problem with Androids is it won't take the photo that whoever took the photo of it. It won't transfer the photo to FreedomSaw.
Well, it won't anyway.
You go
anyway.
Back to HomeSnap, but the HomeSnap photo may not have a photo of the house. It may or may not have. So.
Well,
so it's not. So, Hal, you can't take a picture of the house on your phone and send that in through HomeSnap to FreedomSoft, correct? Even with the bot.
With the bot, it'll send you the link and it puts it in your notes. All you got to do is click that link, and it takes you right to the picture, all the description of the house, and everything.
That's a Google picture, though. If that link doesn't take you to the picture that the person took, it's just like a generic picture, right?
No, it takes you to the picture I took.
Well, that's
So that is an improvement, because before we could only get photos in on iPhone into FreedomSoft.
Well, now let me ask you this.
What's that?
Let me ask you this. On an iPhone, if I go took a picture of the house, does it send that exact picture to FreedomSoft?
The one that you took, yeah. Is that what you're saying the bot will do? Or it sends the generic home image?
It sends you the link of what you took. Okay, go ahead.
With an iPhone, I open up HomeSnap, take a picture of the house in HomeSnap, and then it saves it, and then I can go click on it and then click email, put in the unique email address to the campaign, click send, and then when it comes into the campaign, there's a photo attachment that FreedomSoft peels off, and it'll show you the image that I snapped on my iPhone of the property.
It'll show it in the notes?
No, it goes into the attachments page on the left side of the screen. So the link and the address goes into notes, but the photo is attached to the email, and so FreedomSoft peels off the attachment.
Okay.
So,
well, I don't know.
Do this. When you take a screenshot where you click on that bot, wherever that is in HomeSnap, and just send it to me in the coaching email.
Okay.
So, because we'll I'll have a few other guys play around with it, and if that's a better process, I can update that PDF that I made showing the two different phones. So
okay,
cool.
Yeah, I'll do that. And the only other thing is, and I can see now, then I watched that video where he was talking about making like on a project or having the having your dashboard look exactly like his. And I can see that's going to take some work for me. It's not that I'm illiterate on computers, but I'm too damn busy. So I want to hire a tech person to go in there and do it for me.
That's exactly how you do it. Have them watch the videos in the classroom on,
yes,
on how to do custom fields, and then just have them build it out. That's it.
I can do it. I just don't have the time.
Oh, yeah, but that's not highest and best use. So pay somebody for a couple hours and have them do it. Absolutely.
That's right. Okay. Well, that's it. That's all I got.
All right, Al. Good stuff. Who else?
This is Mike Riley, if there's still some time.
Mike Riley, there is time.
Okay. I'm getting to a point where I'm going to need some help to get past go here. I've spent about 48-hour consecutive hours trying to get out of Unit 1 again, and I'm hung up on...
trying to get out of what?
Getting out of Video 1 or Step 1.
Okay.
I'm skittish because when I got into list source okay, but I had a bill for $200 and some showing up as a cost as a result of the search I ran for potential activity, and I couldn't believe it. There were you know hundreds of thousands of properties. And so it came up with a big number. It was like one of the searches pulled up $75,000 individual available properties that were single family in the last 90 days. And that was in the New York.
75,000?
Yes.
Huh. We'd have Mike, we'd have to do a screen share so I can see what you're doing. It's a little bit hard to talk on the phone, but unless I can see the steps, so I'm happy to do that if we need to set one up tomorrow.
Okay, let's do it,
please. That would be the easiest way. Then I can see what's going on. Some topics are just easier handled with a one-on-one live sharing screens.
And there doesn't seem to be a way to get any help from the list source people. I looked around there. I figured calling the sales off the right place to be.
I wouldn't expect a ton of help from list source. It's, you know, Rob... he's talked about them quite a few times. They have the data. Outside of that, working with them is kind of has always been a pain in the neck and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, they have the data, so he keeps using them. So I'll get on there, Mike. Shoot me a send me a reminder email quick, or if you can, give me a couple times tomorrow that work for you. And remind me what time zone you're in again, and then I can confirm one of them, and we'll get it figured out for you.
I'm in East Coast, and any time after noon is good for me.
Okay, shoot me that in an email quick.
Okay.
And then that way I can just confirm, and we'll get it set up. We'll jump in there and figure it out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else?
Mike, this is Esther.
Hey, Esther.
Hi. I found a house that is supposedly on a vacant house list. I went by it. This is in Denver, in North Glenn.
Okay.
And I went by and drove by it just to double check to make sure that it's vacant. There's no cars out in front. However, the windows are covered with maybe like sheets or something, not really curtains or blinds.
Okay.
And the yard looks pretty well kept. So I don't know if maybe they have somebody that's maintaining the yard because the owners are out of state. And I have their phone number and all. So when I call them, how do I... let them know that I found this house? Do I tell them that I found it on a vacant list or vacant house list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just tell, I mean, this is, you know, just tell, always, hey, if you found somebody's name, number, whatever, property a certain way, just tell them that's how you found it. There isn't really,
okay.
You know, you know, in the script, Rob likes to word it, you know, hey, I had my team out and about, looks like they found a vacant, or, I mean, you can just come out and tell them, because that, you know, this is, people who buy real estate, they know that, that their name is public record. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can just call up, say, hey, this is Esther. I buy real estate in North Bend, Colorado. Looks like you have a vacant house at so-and-so. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but are you, you know, are you looking to sell it? See what they say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Yep.
I'll
you
give
got
them,
it.
I'll
yeah.
Give them
see what they
okay.
say. That's
okay.
That's probably
okay.
the only vacant house in the Denver metro area. So congrats. You found it.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Little joke there, but there aren't many. That's for sure.
And I laughed inside.
We
hey
we
I've got some feedback on the Geo. That's Geo.
Yeah.
If you're really definitely on a budget, like some of us are, you know, it's $250 free and that's it.
Yep.
Google Maps does the same thing pretty much. You just got to play with it and figure out how to work it. Because I made a map, I made a pin map with Google Maps the other day.
Hey, John, would you be willing, do you have a Jing, or could you do a quick screen share on that? Do you have a way to shoot a quick video or no?
Yeah, I can do that. I got Jing, yeah.
I've actually never done it on Google Maps, so.
It doesn't have quite all the bells and whistles, but it broke down. You know, I did it by zip code, and then I did it by, what else? I sorted it, but there are options there that you can. I'll go back through it when I get a minute and do that. Yeah, man. I mean,
if you either shoot a Jing real quick or just give me the quick steps, I'm happy to make the video.
Okay. Yeah, it's if I can figure it out, pretty much anybody could probably. So
I love it.
So I mean, it took me a little while, but I knew there was a way because a buddy of mine told me that he said, I don't know why you're fooling with that, man. He said Google Maps does the same thing.
Yep.
So. You know, it's not quite as pretty, but it serves a purpose, man, and especially if somebody
get the job done.
$100 a month. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Are the Google plots accurate?
Well, they're good enough. I mean, it showed me where these houses were that I've been looking at, and that it showed the. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was I was doing. But it showed me close enough of where the houses were, and I was just looking for, I think it was the buyer's list, the absentee owner's list, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, if you're doing that, you're not worried about buying that property. You're just trying to get a hold of somebody. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to see if, you know, people are buying in that area and how many they're buying and, you know. It was really something for my salespeople to use as a reference.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, I'd like to see, you know, what we can do with it and then kind of what the differences are. Because I know, you know, uploading that all that stuff to Batch Geo is super handy. But like you're saying,
yeah.
You know, there's a price for it. So.
Yeah, I mean, and I just had a spreadsheet. And I
yep.
I took out what I didn't need and loaded it up there and. And
yep.
plotted it out. So, yeah, man, no
cool.
problem.
Cool.
All right.
Who else? All right, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, everybody.
Okay.
Hey, this is Mark.
Yeah.
This is Mark. Esther, are you still on?
Esther,
like she's gone.
Are you still with us?
Hello?
Did you? Hey, she's there.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Esther, this is Mark. Did you get my voicemail?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. I'll call you after we're done here then.
Okay. Yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
I hadn't received anything.
Okay.
But I'm open.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Esther speaks Spanish and Mark has a lead that doesn't speak English, so we're going to solve that problem.
Yeah.
Solve that problem.
Yep.
Mark said, no hablo español. That was the conversation.
Did Aaron get a hold of my friend or not? Do you know?
I don't know. I sent it to him. Not sure.
Okay.
Not sure.
I never did call him or warn him, so I was.
Yeah.
I should have told him I had somebody going to call him, but.
I sent it on for sure.
All right, man. Okay, man.
Mike,
we'll talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Take care,
Mike,
John.
You can give Mark my email too, in case it doesn't make it through the phone.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to call you. I gave him your number last week, so he'll give you a buzz here as soon as we hang up in a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. All right, everybody. I didn't
Thanks,
even have
guys.
Any questions
Thank
coming
you.
In, so.
Bye.
Yep. Yeah. Keep your foot on the gas. As always, make it a great week. Chat Thursday. Any questions, as always, get them into that coaching email. And Mike Riley, shoot me an email with remind me about tomorrow, and we'll get a one-on-one set up. So talk soon, everyone.
Thank you.
Yep, take care.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.